Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Robert Quinn, there's competition for his services. The finalists were the Bears and the Atlanta Falcons. And Robert Quinn, when meeting the Chicago media today, Mac, he kind of went through how he ultimately made his decision to come to Chicago.
It was tough. Chicago was on the right side of the coin.
You didn't flip a literal coin, did you?
It was a coin flip. And how about this? The Bears was on the right side of it.
Do you really believe that he went, all right, Bears heads, Falcons tails?
It's starting to, well, it kind of would lead you to believe that, yeah.
It was a coin flip.
Tails is the call. It is heads. Correction, it is tails.
Hey, there's normally a head and a tail, and they're pretty easy to disseminate which one's which.
That's amazing.
That's an interesting way to go.
Hey, we're going to give you $30 million. Oh, that's not enough to make up your mind? Okay, heads or tails, we'll wait. That's great.
Oh, God, yeah.
Did he do best 2 out of 3?
I want that coin. That coin could be worth something.
Flip a coin, buddy.
It was a coin flip.
It's so great. I mean... Yeah, that is...
Oh, is that stupid?
Yeah.
That's really dumb.
Call it, yes. Well, we need to know what we're calling it for here.
You need to call it.
I didn't put nothing up.
Yes, you did. You've been putting it up your whole life. You just didn't know it.
Well, look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything, call it.
It was a coin flip.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I don't know if Robert Quinn flipped a literal coin, but he's a Bear, and that's all that matters. Happy scoring team, day 11, Dan McNeil. How you feeling today, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Danny. Had an okay weekend. Hope all is well with you and your family. We don't talk much these days. Have the text exchange and a brief exchange over the phone via conference at around 1 o'clock every day. So, I don't feel as connected, but hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Listen, I'm available for all FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, phone call conversations that you would want. It is weird. It's weird doing something as personal as this, talking to other people for 4 hours a day and not seeing them or having any discourse outside of those 4 hours. It's very Mike and the Mad Dog-ish of us.
Yeah, no kidding. Opie and Andy. Anthony. All kinds of, yeah, not talking to Anthony. That's right. Andy was
Opie and
father
Andy.
In the Andy Griffith Show. Yes. There we have it.
Ish.
But I have to say this, when we get together at a couple minutes after 1 o'clock for our group chat, that's always very spirited. Sometimes we can't get off the phone. That shows an excitement to be with one another. And I did something today during a production meeting I've never done. I actually set hooks on a largemouth bass while we were chatting today. I've never done that before. That felt good.
Well, and, I mean, you were very present and active during the pre-show call. So if you would have not told us, I mean, yeah, there was a little bit of background noise, so we would have known you were outside. But if you would have not told us, I feel like you could have gotten away with it. Not that it's something to hide or be embarrassed about, but
yeah,
you were catching fish while pre-show meeting-ing, whatever. Very impressive, your ability to multitask.
It's a multitasking way, and I would hope to do it again tomorrow if we talk at 1 o'clock, and I assume we will. Maybe the weather will be as nice. It's just good to get out. Got out yesterday. Very weird to go fishing with my oldest son and drive separately for 85 miles in each direction. That was we thought the right thing to do. His girlfriend, with whom he lives, works in a hospital, and they've been very good about taking care of being compliant, he says, but you never know. So we're practicing social distancing and stood 10 feet away from each other on the boat for 5 hours. But for 85 miles in each direction, all I could do was wave.
Man, that is odd, but it's great that fishing is an activity that you have, that you can have some sort of socialization, even if it is imperfect with the 85-mile commute and opposite ends of the boat. But that is a great activity for you to be able to do. And I know that a lot of people are looking for that sort of thing. Burnsy was telling the story about the extra person at the tennis court, so no one had to touch the ball. They were serving from the side so that other people could play. I know Shep went on a walk with members of his family, but they all stood 6 feet apart. My thing had always been golf. Steph and I have gone for walks. So I've taken Owen and the dog and, you know, our little new family of four. But in terms of getting together with other people, I haven't had any in-person socialization in 3 weeks now.
It's doing okay with it for the most part?
Yeah, you know, for the most part, right? I feel like it's not easy, but it's easier in 2020 to do this than at any other time in human history because of FaceTime and Zoom and the abundance of entertainment options that are available for us. I mean, you can get any movie, any book, any TV show in the world right there for you. You can have, I mean, I live in downtown Chicago. We had awesome sushi delivered to us over the weekend. We had our groceries delivered. You know, like, the world is at your fingertips because of technology right now.
Yeah.
So while difficult socially and while really difficult because we want to show off our baby and socialize like in that circle, I feel like we're holding up as well as could be expected.
Good. Well, that's a good outlook. I need people. I didn't think that was the case a few years ago when I wasn't in a real good place between the ears and was self-medicating and not treating talk therapy with any degree of reverence. And I withdrew from people, and I've got to be mindful of that. Even if it's from a distance today, to see Chris Tannehill from 10 feet away today wearing his mascus as he jumped, because I don't have a use for my parking garage monthly card this month.
Careful,
and I've already
paid for it.
Let's
keep this on the down and low. I don't know if it's really street legal.
He can pay for you to park. I feel like that's got to be allowed, no?
Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't pay for him to park. Sure, yeah. But he's got the garage to himself, too. I imagine there weren't more than five or six cars on the north end of it
today.
You
can take wherever you wanted to park down there. Right there on level three there. Oh, it's beautiful.
That's a good level, isn't it? I've always been fond of three. Yeah, Spiegel was a four guy. I prefer three. I'm a three man.
As long as you're by the elevator, you're in good shape. And so
that's right. That's correct. But he jumps out of his SUV and he's got his mask on. I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I would expect from the lad, to have his mask on. And he quoted something from a film, and I had the wrong movie. It took me a while to figure out what he said, what movie it was. Chris said, please remove your mask.
Kindly remove your mask from kindly 6 feet away with the mask covering my mouth. I'm surprised you didn't catch up on that sooner.
Yeah, it took me. I'm thinking, okay, that's not Silence of the Lambs. What other mask movies do I know? And it occurred to me 10 minutes later, I was chewing on it after I left, and I thought Couples Retreat, but that's not it either. It's something else.
The password for the house.
Yes?
I seem to have forgotten it.
That's unfortunate. Because here, it doesn't matter whether you have forgotten it or if you never knew it. You will kindly remove your mask.
Kindly remove your mask.
It's well executed. I don't feel like Eyes Wide Shut is being quoted nearly enough in these streets of 2020, Tanny.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Suggest parking level drafts and to quote Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, we could do a mask movie draft. I'll take Mask with Eric Stoltz, number one. Leaving plenty of good options on the board.
We were, Danny, he and I were the only two dudes on the street, man. It was, because I hadn't been downtown in a little while. There's no one around. You may have noticed.
You know, I have noticed. I live at a fairly busy intersection, and it's eerie being able to walk around the neighborhood and not see hardly anyone. And then when you do see them, people are very friendly, but, you know, you feel like kind of almost like predatorial. Like people are, you know, they're not going away from you because they're scared of you or anything like that. But, you know, people like pulling little kids, like 5-6 year olds, like pulling them off to the side. Like, hey, we're going to let this guy with his dog pass before we keep walking down the sidewalk. It's like, oh, I promise I'm not scary. Oh, but right. I might be contagious. It's just everyone's trying to like give the nod to like, hey, I'm not being rude. I just understand that we're being safe here. And it's just it's odd when you're doing that in a neighborhood setting when people are so used to interacting. And we know a bunch of the people with dogs. Like in our building, so we're always seeing the same people walking their dogs at the same time, and so you know you got a little bit of a community, and it's odd to not be able to pet each other's dog and just kind of just be together for a while when you're out in the parks or anything like that around the building. So yeah, it's weird, but you know it's our new normal for now. And I think everybody is still adjusting to it. And in that vein, we've got Governor Pritzker's daily COVID-19 update coming up at 2:30, and we are really excited for 3 o'clock when the star of Better Call Saul, which is nearing the conclusion of its fifth season, Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul Goodman, will join us today at 3 o'clock. No, not only to talk Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, but he's from Berwyn, he's a Saluki, he went to Naperville, SNL, Mr. Show. The guy has had an unbelievable life in comedy, and Bob Odenkirk is going to join us to tell some score stories today at 3 o'clock.
Going to be fun. Very, very cool to have him on board. Love that. That's good.
And the sports news of the day, if you want to call it that, because I believe that all of these things that are quote-unquote newsy come with a little bit of a contingency to it, right? Like, we'll see. The NFL draft is going ahead as scheduled. On the 21st, and they are going to be doing it from remote locations. Roger Goodell made that official today. So he will be announcing picks from either the league offices or his house, and Ryan Pace will be at a remote location. Basically, all of the facilities will remain closed. And I read Peter King this morning, and so much of it, Mac, was about let's plan for a 12-game season. Plan for a 14-game season. Mm-hmm. Have a plan for a 16-game season. What's the charitable component going to be of the draft? Instead of the NFL Network and ESPN, it looks like there's going to be just one broadcast, simulcast on both networks to limit the working exposure for television professionals. So they're thinking outside the box, but they are going ahead as scheduled with the draft. It's official now.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Hopefully nobody gets infected as a result of it. The NFL has been pretty steadfast in conducting its business as usual. It's the only league of any of them that has a puncher's chance of having any degree of normalcy, and they should be planning for different scenarios. A 12-game, 14, 6-game, 16. Those are all very real possibilities. If you would tell me today I can sign up for a 14-week NFL season, because I got those as a kid, I'd sign the contract for it. If all we missed were 2 weeks of NFL football, that would be a good thing. I would take that.
It's weird because over the weekend, President Trump had a teleconference with all these different commissioners of all these different sports leagues. and Vince McMahon was on the call for some reason. Don't exactly understand that one, but yeah, hey, different strokes, different folks. And you know, he was talking about wanting football to resume as normal, and that makes all the sense in the world, right? It's America's new pastime, and it would be normalcy, and it would be a great thing, and it's absolutely something to shoot for. But once that news came out, you had all of these different people saying, like Governor Newsom in California was like, I don't see us allowing fans in the stadiums this fall. He's like, I don't see it. So what normal will there be if there is NFL? But after that teleconference, it's announced today on what was supposed to be the national championship in college basketball and the beginning of Masters Week. The Masters were supposed to be this weekend. The Masters came out and said November 9th to the 15th. So they're going to open Augusta in the fall. And the British Open canceled, and that is when they are scheduling the Masters, again, as of now, but they are saying, if you've got a ticket to the Masters, you get to come in. So, full grandstands, full crowds, golf in the second week of November at Augusta, and so if that's happening, you could have Major League Baseball playoffs,
yeah,
college football, NFL regular season, the Masters, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. You could have all of these things happening at once in late November or early to mid-November.
Yeah, it would go from an empty plate for a number of months to a buffet, and you just you don't have enough hours in the day to consume all of it. You know, that would be interesting. When I first considered the idea of the Masters in mid-November with Championship Sunday being the 15th, I thought, okay, that's not all bad, but if baseball season winds up pushing, if there is baseball season, they wind up pushing the World Series back to mid-November, that's going to dilute things. Because the NFL is going to remain king for me and I think a high percentage of people who are sports fans in this country. That's still going to reign supreme. But golf is such a wonderful, relaxing sport, too. In a November Masters, I can settle in to seeing Jim Nance in the Butler Cabin with a, what do they call it, a horn of plenty? The cornucopia of all of the fall harvest. I could see him doing that right around Thanksgiving. That'd work for me.
Listen, I love watching golf on TV. I enjoy betting golf.
Sure.
Just the fact that this was even happening and being proposed was something that I was excited about. They're saying the tour will begin in mid-June with no fans at the Memorial.
Right.
Then the PGA Championship August 6th. The Ryder Cup September 25th. The U.S. Open the week before that, September 17th, and then again the Masters the week of November 9th to the 15th. So the idea of having the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup in back-to-back weekends, like, if you enjoy golf, that's going to be fairly exciting. And I just think people are going to be so starved for any sort of sports entertainment if we are delayed for another 4 or 5 months that I don't know that anybody's going to be in a position to complain by like, it gets darker earlier at Augusta and the azaleas won't be in their normal peak season. Like, those are going to be such secondary and tertiary issues.
Right.
We'll just be so happy to have it back.
Yeah, you're right about that. Nance can describe different plants this time around. Yeah, I'm eager to see what it does. If it's the only game in town, what that does for golf ratings compared to past years. I would assume it might get an initial spike, but I don't know if it's the only thing going for several months, if it's going to do off the chart numbers. Maybe it will. There are a lot of people who enjoy watching it who've never picked up a club in their life or don't play very much, or older people who maybe played once upon a time who enjoy the relaxing nature of golf. There's always something happening. It's usually very visually intoxicating, and they show you shots. They cut from 15 to 12 to 17. You're always seeing somebody hitting a golf ball, so there's not much downtime, and usually the backdrop is kind of breathtaking. A lot of screensaver courses out there on the PGA Tour, and for that reason alone, and seeing guys, you know, seeing somebody where it's warm, to me, always works. That's why I always used to love the Mercedes. When they opened the year with the Mercedes tournament out at Kapalua in Maui because of that course. And now, oh man, it won't be too long from now. It's late January. It's only 6 more months, and we can go outside and enjoy a little sunshine. So I don't know what it'll do for golf's viewership. You suspect it'll have an enormous – you think it'll have any staying power or just a little bit of a spike initially?
I think it'll be a spike initially. Like if any league gets back first, you know, they'll have an uptick because people will just be excited for live competition,
yeah.
Something to gamble on, something
right.
to watch when you're staying inside, all of that sort of thing. So I think whatever sport gets back first, and golf makes a lot of sense. I know NASCAR is talking about it and coming back sooner also. I do think that they'll get a bump, and then the flip side of it'll be if, and again, all of this is with an asterisk, but if college football happens, and if the NFL happens, and if we have some sort of all clear for not even fans in stands, but just sports to be resumed, like there's enough testing or whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
if we've got NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, college football, NFL, and golf all happening at the same time,
yeah,
the ratings will go down for everything.
Yeah, yeah,
they'll be cannibalizing each other.
Yeah, that's a bit much, but they got to do what they got to do to survive. There may come a time where baseball season just has to wave the white flag, and maybe the winter sports probably would have to do that first. I know they've been insistent on finishing this season, but if we're talking about not being able to resume a season, whether you have fans there or not, until August, what's the point? What's the point that late in the year? You got to just call it. You got to call it a wash, and start preparing for the next season. Easy for me to say. I'm not the one losing millions. So
exactly, very easy for you to say, both from the monetary standpoint and the competitive standpoint. Right? I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks want this season to be finished. They want to play.
Yeah.
They want a shot at the NBA championship. They'll play it whenever. I saw Bob Huggins suggested, and this will never happen because of eligibility, but Bob Huggins suggested that next year's college basketball season should start with last year's NCAA tournament.
That's not bad, actually.
You know me, man. Outside the box ideas, I'm here for them. I can't
Bob
imagine.
Huggins with a thought.
Yeah, right.
And then he threw up in his lap.
it's a thought. It's not feasible in any way because the best players on the basketball teams will have been drafted into the NBA, so the rosters will be entirely different, and eligibility issues and scholarship and guys moving on and international ball and all of those reasons why it'll never happen. But it's a thought. It's an outside-the-box idea in unprecedented times, so I respect that.
Dude, I can't get anybody to grab onto my idea of celebrity ping pong. I've run it by anybody I've had, well, not everybody, but most people I have conversations with. If we're visiting, I got time, I run that by them. No one's interested. Nobody cares to see the best NHL players in the world take on the best NBA players in celebrity ping pong because that's socially distant. That's responsible enough to compete. Man, that would be so much fun. Just locally, right? You don't have to get on a plane to do it. Have your best couple players on the Blackhawks challenge the best ping pong players on the Bulls. I'd watch.
Yeah, listen, I'd probably watch too.
Sure you would. You'd watch. Yes, you'd watch Lauri Markkanen not want to go to the basket against Patrick Kane in table tennis.
Yeah, I'd watch.
Yeah,
I'd watch.
I would too.
I like the idea that
I'd only watch for 10 minutes, but I'd start
right.
it.
Right. It's 10 more minutes of ping pong than I watched last year. The NBA floating an idea of guys playing horse in their home gyms and then having to match it. So, like, Donovan Mitchell has a home gym and Zach LaVine has a home gym and they're playing each other in horse and they got to match each other's shot with a still camera and then broadcasting it. Hey, man. Desperate times, desperate measures. Let's go. I'm here for all of it.
Horse sounds awfully boring, though, doesn't it? You want to watch? Who even likes playing horse? The only time you ever played horse is because you only got two or three guys. You don't have enough guys to have a game. That's why we played horse. Now we're forced to watch it?
We're not forced to do anything.
No, you're right. You're right. No, they're going to do it Clockwork Orange style. They're going to tie me to a chair and put these lid locks, these clamps on my eyes, and put this liquid in there so I keep them lubricated and I can't get out of the line of fire of that. Ooh.
Bob Odenkirk scheduled for 3 o'clock, the governor's press conference on COVID-19 next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Score. Welcome back, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad fame will join us at 3 o'clock. We're going to join Governor Pritzker in progress, courtesy of WBBM, momentarily. He'll probably be discussing the We Are Not Playing and Neither Should You sports initiative that Mayor Lightfoot announced earlier today, in addition to the daily COVID-19 update. Also, I'll be starting my Venmo giveaway for the week later on this afternoon and evening. If you are economically impacted by COVID-19, feel free to send me a direct message on Twitter at Danny Parkins, and I might be able to get some funds to you from parts of the McNeil and Parkins mob. So if you are impacted, Danny Parkins on Twitter, you can send me a DM and I could try to help you out a little bit. If you'd like to contribute, you can hit up my Venmo, Danny-Parkins on Venmo. So Danny-Parkins to contribute, just DM me on Twitter if you're economically hurting from COVID-19. Let me know what's going on. So once BBM picks up the Governor Pritzker press conference, we will go there. But interesting news, Mac, as we continue to watch this from around the country, the city, and frankly the world. Over 9,000 American deaths. That number came this weekend. There are still 9 states without a stay-at-home order. But if you look at some of the maps, the New York Times put out a piece using cell phone data. The Midwest, the Great Lakes region, Chicago, we seem to be doing better than basically anywhere else in the country when it comes to social distancing. So hopefully the majority of people in our audience are doing the right thing and staying home.
Yes, I think the mayor should be given credit for that, and I think the governor as well, acting very, very quickly. This was first done in California, where, you know, the virus was first introduced out on the Western Seaboard, and they got on top of it very quickly. And their curve flattening rates have been very successful as a result of it. This is, I think, week 5 in California, where people have been, maybe it's week 4. But we were quick to be told, stay the F home. And that's unfortunate. You know, like we talked about last week a little bit. We want our freedoms, and states have the right to do what they want. But maybe this would have been a case. Yeah, you had something?
Well, here is Governor J.B. Pritzker to update us.
During public health emergencies and only as a short-term stopgap buffer when the immediate supply of adequate amounts of these materials may not be immediately available. In total, the shipments that we've received from the Strategic National Stockpile, a mere fraction of what we've asked for, were 367,700 N95 masks, 1,141,000 surgical masks, nearly 693,000 gloves, 174,000 face shields, 142,000 surgical gowns, and 4,000 coveralls. Again, this is a small fraction of what we need and what we have asked for. If we had relied upon the White House and its obligation to fulfill our needs from the SNS, our state and nearly every state in the United States would come up short and could not protect our healthcare workers and our first responders. But here's the good news. We haven't trusted what we were told by the White House. Instead, members of my governor's office, IDPH, and IEMA have been working tirelessly to pursue all other routes to acquire additional PPE for the fight against COVID-19 in Illinois. We continue to source and ship as much PPE as we can from all over the world, bringing it to Illinois by whatever means necessary. As illustrated on one of the boards that's next to me, to date, we've ordered nearly 10 million N95 masks, over 14 million KN95 masks, 7 million surgical masks, 22 million disposable general use masks, over 19 million gloves, over 5 million face shields, over 3 million gowns, and more. Take note that this is not as simple as placing an order and having it arrive at your doorstep a few days later. There's a worldwide shortage that has us racing the clock and battling against other states and the federal government. This is an ongoing, around-the-clock process of scouring the globe to identify what PPE is available, reaching out to the producer with a better price and a faster payment than our competitors, overcoming the machinations of shipping across the world during a worldwide pandemic, and attempting to leave nothing to chance in all of that process. We're involved in every granular detail of every step until the PPE arrives in our warehouse. We've been doing this day in and day out, again and again, over the last 4 weeks or so. Here's why. We need to outfit our heroic healthcare professionals to allow us to outfit them for the existing beds, but also for the additional hospital beds that we're adding all across the state. And I'll be providing a fuller update on that tomorrow. But as of Friday, we had increased hospital beds in Illinois to about 28,000 non-ICU beds and 2,680 ICU beds statewide. Each of those beds and all that we've added since, and the patients, COVID and non-COVID alike, that need them to heal, require a full team of healthcare professionals properly outfitted in PPE in order to do their jobs correctly every day, every hour, every minute at the hospital, saving lives while they're protecting their own. Right now, we're looking at a statewide 10-day PPE burn rate of just under 1.5 million N95 masks, 25 million gloves, 4.4 million gowns, and 700,000 surgical masks. And that's just across our hospitals and long-term care facilities, with small set-asides for our law enforcement to make sure that they are fully covered, and our essential state workers. That's also before you count the McCormick Place Alternate Care Facility, which we project could bring our surgical mask burn rate to over 2 million across that 10-day period, to just offer one more example. As you can see, when you compare our federal shipments to our burn rate, The product that we've received from the federal stockpile will last only a handful of days in this multi-month battle. It's our own state procurement initiative that is making the difference. To anyone who wants a response to some of the blame shifting coming out of the White House, all I have to say is look at the numbers. Here in Illinois, I'm doing everything within my power as governor to keep the PPE supply stream flowing. I have enormous respect and gratitude, truly, for the civil servants inside of IEMA and IDPH who are managing inventory in our state PPE warehouses and sending it out to hospitals and local health departments so that every part of the state gets what they need. I'm also grateful to the people within my governor's office who've launched a whirlwind, all-encompassing operation to analyze the global PPE market and chase down every last product that they can find. And a big thank you to the incredible, truly incredible, experienced public servants inside of FEMA, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Army Corps, and the entire U.S. military. The people who know that their duty is to the residents of this country. These are all people who are fighting like hell for Illinois, even with one hand tied behind their backs by the White House. To all who are listening, I just want to say I know that this fight has taken on a new meaning as COVID-19's presence in our communities has evolved. Less than a month ago, it was hard for everyone to see how important early action would be to get us ready for what has seemed like an invisible enemy whose terrible impact had not yet been truly demonstrated. We have now lost hundreds of Illinoisans in the fight against COVID-19. Thousands of family members, loved ones, friends, and neighbors are grieving. The loss of each and every single individual offers a unique, unbearable pain for all of the lives that they touched. And cumulatively, they reflect the disproportionate burden that this virus places on some communities more than others. We're facing a crisis. And we have to face it honestly. Communities of color, and particularly black communities in the city of Chicago, suburban Cook County, and cities and towns all across our state, disproportionately shoulder the health care conditions that lead to worse outcomes with COVID-19. And to put into words what often is left unsaid, that's a product of generations of systemic disinvestment in communities of color, compounded by disparities in healthcare delivery systems and access. Acknowledging that truth is just one step. Our actions have to reflect our reality. The number one way to do that is testing. As I've said since the beginning, the lack of testing at a national level over the last few months has been a massive hindrance to our ability to respond to and contain COVID-19. I've called out the federal government and called upon them to step up in the ways that only they can. But in the meantime, my team has worked to expand testing where we have the ability to do so and ensure that we're not testing any one community more than any other community. That means adding more drive-through testing facilities, working with rapid test companies, and building up our own in-state lab capacities. As I've said, we're not where we need to be, but we are determined to get to a place where we're testing widely in our nursing homes, in our correctional facilities, and in our communities, where anyone who might need one can get a test. That's our goal. We also have worked to massively expand hospital capacity directly in communities where we predict we need to exceed our existing capacity. We've added thousands of beds at our existing institutions and are standing up supportive facilities at McCormick Place, at Westlake Hospital in Melrose Park, Metro South Hospital in Blue Island, and in other locations across Illinois. My team and I are continuing to operate with our eyes trained on these disparities because that is the only way to address them. We are working to hold ourselves accountable in everything that we do. That said, I say again to you, our strongest weapon against COVID-19 is you, all of you, all of the people of the state of Illinois. We have to be all in for Illinois. So please stay home and work from home if you can. If you have to leave home because you are an essential worker, and if you're sick or a member of your family is sick, this is not a time to tough it out. Isolate if you can. See a doctor, call a doctor first if your symptoms are severe. Hold your family members accountable. Just about every insurance company is waiving copays related to COVID-19, making it easier for any person who has symptoms to get the treatment that they need. Please protect yourself and your community. We can't quantify your actions like we can PPE and available tests. But I promise you, we can't get through this without all of us doing our part. I thank you, and I want to call upon Dr. Zike for today's medical update.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon. I'd like to begin today with a few words of caution. The forecast says that tomorrow will be our warmest day in many areas of the state. Please stay home. I assure you, if people congregate tomorrow, we will set the state back in our fight against COVID-19. Today, we announced 1,006 new cases, including 33 additional lost lives. We currently have a total of 12,262 cases and 307 Illinoisans who were loved by many who have passed on. 70% of the individuals who have lost their fight against COVID have had a comorbid condition. The most commonly listed conditions were hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease. We're looking for the data on the other 30%, but feel that it would likely bear out the same information that the majority of individuals, the overwhelming majority of individuals, have comorbid conditions. As the governor discussed, personal protective equipment is used every day by healthcare personnel to protect themselves, the patients, and the others when providing care. Shortages of these essential supplies are currently posing a tremendous challenge to the U.S. healthcare system, and healthcare facilities are having difficulty. Because of this shortage, healthcare facilities are beginning to implement optimization and contingency strategies to help stretch our supplies. These include healthcare personnel using face masks beyond contact with a single patient. Of course, if there's any obvious soiling of equipment, that needs to be changed immediately. These strategies must be employed during PPE shortages. We must protect our healthcare personnel. When our workforce is sick, they cannot care for you or your parents or your grandparents. We've been saying this for weeks and will continue to say it. Please stay at home. Protect our healthcare workers and the limited supply of PPE currently available. You don't want to be the person that spreads the virus to a healthcare worker. Everyone's actions, they're critical. Stay inside. If you absolutely must go out, please cover your nose and mouth. Many people are celebrating the most important event of their faith this week, but the services must be held online. Lastly, beginning today, the number of COVID-19 cases by zip code will be available on the IDPH website at dph.illinois.gov/COVID-19/statistics. It should be assumed, however, that COVID-19 is occurring in every zip code in Illinois. But for our website, zip codes with 5 cases or less will not be shared due to privacy concerns and the concern for identifying an individual. We must always be disciplined to ensure that we remain safe. We must continue to stay home. We must wash our hands, keep practicing our physical distancing, and wearing a covering. These are the tools and the keys that we have, and that is what will make us successful. Let's use these weapons to fight against this war. We have to end this pandemic. Let's be all in for Illinois.
That's Dr. Ngozi Ezike after Governor J.B. Pritzker announcing 1,006 new COVID-19 cases with 33 additional deaths, bringing the death total for the state of Illinois to 307 as we have eclipsed 12,000 cases statewide. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including postal workers, CTA staff, and airport staff. We appreciate you. The plea for people to stay inside, especially as the weather warms, continues. And, you know, I just remember, like, we're all learning new phrases here. Social distancing, flattening the curve, that sort of thing. When there are signs of progress, it's natural to lay up and say, hey, the model has recalibrated to a lower number. See, it's working. We're past mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. No, the numbers go lower in the model because we're practicing this aggressive social distancing. So just if you get numbers or you see reports of positivity, that means the extreme measures or the seemingly extreme measures of social distancing, it actually means that it's working.
Yeah, I say this to myself as I do anybody else. Tomorrow, with what nice weather, resist the temptation to do something that would be remotely considered social. Take a walk by yourself. Take a walk with somebody with whom you've been sharing living quarters. Just as much as, you know, most of us want interaction. We gotta lay off. You're right. There is no reason to feel any sense of safety this early in the game. None whatsoever. And it is natural for people to think, oh, hey, this thing's calming down like I thought it would. No, not so fast.
Just wait for the medical people to tell us that. I know it's going to be hard not to go to church for Easter or temple for Passover. And it's going to be, hey, well, maybe we could just get the family together, the 8 or the 10 of us together for an Easter Sunday brunch. Like, I really do get the temptation. But this right now is we're entering the peak time locally where people need to not let their foot off the gas. It is of the utmost importance, not just for you, but for if you do get sick, that there's going to be a hospital bed waiting for you and that the medical supplies will still be ample as our healthcare professionals work through this. So please continue to take this seriously. That audio, again, courtesy of our sister station, WBBM. I can't remember being more excited for a guest in any sort of recent history. Bob Odenkirk has lived an unbelievable life in comedy. Robert Smigel, Conan O'Brien, Larry David, Mr. Show, Saturday Night Live. The guy has done it all. Now he stars as Saul Goodman on Better Call Saul after Breaking Bad. Bob Odenkirk from Berwyn and Naperville, a Saluki. He joins the show next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.